they do. This is what they do. And we must fight back. You can torture us and bomb us. Fire is catching. And if we burn, you burn with us.
Good evening.
Are you awake yet? I hope. We've tried and we've tried for years and years to use passive resistance and loud voices to make a change. But time is over. Your governments around the world have no other goal than to decimate your entire existence at the hands of the bankers and the elites. The war is coming, and it's your choice to decide if you want to be a warrior or a victim. Denial is not a choice anymore. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Not giving up. Revolution Radio.
When you attend a funeral, it is sad to think that sooner or later those you love will do the same for you. And you may have thought it tragic, not to mention other adjectives, to think of all the weeping they will do. But don't you worry, no more ashes, no more sackcloth, and an armband made of black cloth will someday nevermore adorn a sleeve. For if the bomb that drops on you gets your friends and neighbors too, there'll be nobody left behind to grieve, and we will all go together when we go. What a comforting fact that is to know. Universal bereavement, an inspiring achievement. Yes, we all will go together when we go. We will all go together when we go. All suffused with an incandescent glow. No one will have the endurance to collect on his insurance. Lloyd's of London will be loaded when they go.
Yes, this is Jim Fetzer, your host on The Raw Deal, where I'm very pleased that Mitchell got a hold of me in time for the beginning of the show today. It's wonderful to be here. I'll be willing to take calls earlier today than usual, but I have some very important stories to report. We have a U.S. federal judge striking down Pennsylvania's COVID mandates as unconstitutional. This is about as big as it gets, frankly, in this day and age. The federal judge ruled yesterday, that Pennsylvania Governor Tom Wolf and Secretary of Health Rachel Levine's coronavirus orders, which shut down the state, closed businesses, and limited gatherings, was unconstitutional. The lawsuit was brought by Butler, Fayette, Green, and Washington counties, four Republican lawmakers, and several small businesses in those counties. The attorney involved in the case said that, in his opinion, the orders from Wolf and Pennsylvania Secretary of State violated and continue to violate the First Amendment right to freedom of assembly and due process and equal protection clauses of the 14th Amendment. Stickman wrote that he believes Wolf and State Secretary of Health, Rachel Mitchell, are we there? Can you hear me, my friend?
Yeah, we got you, Jim.
Okay, way to go, Mitchell. I guess it was a delayed note here. wrote okay. that the governor and the secretary of health undertook their actions in a well-intentioned effort to protect Pennsylvania from the virus. However, good intentions, sort of laudable, and are not alone enough to uphold governmental action against a constitutional challenge. He wrote, the government engaged in a dangerous strategy where rights were taken away. This all has been applauded, lauded on Twitter. Breaking. Federal judge rules Pennsylvania governor's shutdown order and business closures were unconstitutional. All these governors should be arrested immediately. Thank you, and other similar reports. There's no doubt about it. This is an incredibly welcome development and ought to lead of a string of reversals all across the country. If these Democrat governors who are imposing these lockdowns for political purposes, because they believe it's going to give the Democrats an edge in the election, are going to find themselves hit with one lawsuit after another, completely indefensible, momentarily. Jeff, call into the show if you like. Call into the show right now. Meanwhile, Dr. Ewan on her Fellowship of the Mind's blog has reported COVID-19 rules are for the little people. Government gyms have been open for months. Now, this is going to truly disgust you because it shows that the legislators are abusing the public and benefiting themselves. I mean, truly grotesque. It turns out Emma Colton reports from the Washington Examiner that gyms within government buildings in San Francisco have been open for months, despite privately owned gyms remaining closed due to the supposed pandemic. The gyms that have been open for government employees include those for police officers, judges, lawyers, bailiffs, paralegals, according to the report. One such gym, the Hall of Justice Gym, has been open since July 1st. This is just what you expect from Nancy Pelosi and the charlatans who are running the government of California, about whom I shall have much more to report. Meanwhile, Ron Johnson, who's proven to be a very worthy senator from my home state now of Wisconsin, has stated that the Ukraine report that's coming from his committee on Homeland Security is poised to release a damning report on Democratic presidential candidate Joe Biden's dealings in the Ukraine. Now, as I've reported many times in the past, Joe Biden boasted at the Council on Foreign Relations how he had extorted the government of the Ukraine to fire the prosecutor who was looking into the Burisma, the gas company that had hired his son, Hunter, in spite of the fact that he had no qualifications or competence at all at a cushy $50,000 a month. If they didn't fire the prosecutor within 6 hours before he would fly back to the United States, he'd withhold $1 billion in financial aid. Absolutely stunning. So what we have here is Ron Johnson is obviously, they're going to report all this to the public as the consequence of an official government investigation. What he says, stay tuned. In about a week, we're going to learn a whole lot more of Vice President Biden's unfitness for office. Many of us felt that the whole idea of attempting to impeach Trump for something that Biden had done was completely disgraceful, but it's the kind of politics we are now expecting from the Democratic Party. Meanwhile, we have a report. Bernie Sanders concerned Biden is losing to Trump. Well, that's not real new news if you hear it, if you listen to this show. But the fact of the matter is, coming from Bernie Sanders is very telling. Joe Biden is in danger of losing to President Trump in November, Senator Bernie Sanders, independent of Vermont, fears, according to three sources for the Washington Post. Sanders' concerns are based on Biden's appeal, really his inadequate appeal, to centrist voters as opposed to progressives, with a vague campaign platform, the anonymous sources told the Post. Sanders fears Biden's lack of focus on healthcare economic plans, or young firebrand progressives like Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez are going to cost Biden votes. Well, I don't think there's any real serious doubt about it. Biden was a hopelessly inadequate candidate, where Angela Davis, who was an assistant professor at UCLA back in the 1960s, was involved in radical activity then, recently acknowledged that we weren't looking for the best candidate, but the one we could most easily manipulate. And without any doubt, they found that in Joe Biden. Senator Sanders' spokesman is declaring he's confident Joe Biden is in a very strong position to win the election, but nevertheless feels there are areas the campaign can continue to improve upon. Hang on one sec. Yes. Hey, can you call into the show? Well, let me get, have you got the number? 540-352-4452? Please try it again, Rebecca, because I'm on the air now, but I'd love to have you join me. Just love it. Do it. Thanks. Bye. Hopefully, I'm going to have the unexpected pleasure to have Rebecca Carnes join us. She, of course, is a Newtown mom who's been speaking out about Sandy Hook. She is going to try to call Mitchell now, where she tried before but was unsuccessful in getting through. Bernie's been in direct contact with the Biden team, has urged them to put more emphasis on how they will raise wages, create millions of good-paying jobs, lower the cost of prescription drugs, and expand health care coverage. Those are all good ideas. However, Bernie is especially concerned that younger voters are not enthusiastic about getting out to vote for Biden. Who is? To the best of my knowledge, no one in the whole world is enthusiastic about voting for Joe Biden, with the exception of his wife, Jill. This is particularly noteworthy amid the Biden campaign failing to draw in AOC. She was infamously limited to just 90 seconds at the Democratic National Convention last month, speaking only to introduce Bernie and not to speak to Biden. Mitchell, do I have Rebecca here?
Hello?
Oh, Rebecca, wonderful. Can you turn up your volume?
Sure. Is that better?
Even louder, if you possibly can.
That's as high as it goes.
Okay, let me see if I can turn up my volume here on this end. It's okay. Just a delight to hear from you. We were, of course, going to speak this afternoon, and then it had slipped my mind that I actually was going to be on the air from 3 to 5 Central. So here we are. Here we are.
Audience. That's great.
yeah, just me, that's for sure. Tell me, how are you faring in Newtown? Are you getting any support from locals? I mean, you know, it seemed to me at one point there were signs that they admired you for speaking out. Is that remain the case, or are you feeling the heat?
Funny, I'm talking to you right now because I'm getting out of Dodge as we speak. I'm driving out of Newtown right now because I'm heading up to New York State. And I'm not moving. I'm going for a visit to visit someone. But in terms of reception on the Sandy Hook stuff with my post, I got a lot of support, a lot of good comments. I think not so much my blog post, because I think, obviously, even those that know the truth of what went on about Sandy Hook, they're reluctant to voice their opinion due to repercussions, job-wise and otherwise, of course. But in terms of local support, you know, it's tough. It's really tough, especially being in this community. You know, I haven't gotten really anything. The only one is, two people that want to remain anonymous that kind of feed me some information, but not from the front lines. They aren't people on the front lines. So that's pretty much what I've been, you know, working with. Yeah.
Well, I know you have a divided family, that your husband is about as enthusiastic as you speaking about Sandy Hook as my wife is about my supporting Donald Trump. And neither you nor I is going to change. I mean, this is who we are, what we believe, what we care about. We're going to do our best to persuade others to come to our point of view, but it can lead to emotional moments where my wife and I, for example, who have been married since 1977, have had the most strenuous arguments of our life, Rebecca, over politics. I mean, it's just dumbfounding how strenuous they can be.
Yeah, that's right. It certainly is tense. You know, I think we've, you know, my family and myself have come to an understanding that, listen, I'm going to do what I believe in and speak the truth on what I know to be the truth and write about it and speak my mind. And you don't have to agree with me, but don't ask me to stop. You know, don't ask me to stop. I don't want ultimatums. This is who I am. And you either love it or you leave it, you know? So so we've come to that understanding, but it is tough because you have to draw these boundary lines, and there's a lot that I can't talk about with my family and my, you know, but these are tense times all around. It goes beyond Sandy Hook. I think everyone can feel that right now, whether you're on different political lines or different lines with the mandates on the COVID. It's very tense all around, especially in discussions for families. So, I think when the holidays come up, the saying is going to be don't discuss politics and religion was always the saying. I think now it's going to be don't discuss politics, religion, or COVID. Of course.
Well, Rebecca, the whole COVID thing is such a scam. We now have 500 doctors in Germany who are part of a movement who have declared that the whole thing is a worldwide scam. I mean, it's utterly fascinating what we're learning here. And it seems to me they are 100% in the right. We also have a new report that up to 90% of the COVID-19 positive test results are false, that the test kits are matching dead viral fragments that pose no infection risk. So very large numbers of the public who are getting these tests, they're being told they have it when they don't. And you can imagine the catastrophic effects, psychological and otherwise. I know of one former police chief who informed, and I'm willing to bet falsely, that he had COVID, actually committed suicide so he wouldn't expose his family.
Oh, wow. It's very terrible all around. I mean, just and what they're doing to public health in the name of public health is absurd and an abomination against humanity. I mean, suicide rates are up, depression's up, people aren't getting surgeries, they're scared to go to the doctor because they'll get COVID. You know, it's astronomically absurd and sad and scary. And just now I've learned that they're putting up these highway test spots in Hawaii, and I think Ohio is the other place, that they're going to do random testing of people, and if they say you have COVID, you tested positive for COVID, even though you're asymptomatic, they can put you in a FEMA camp that they're setting up along these highway routes as well, and you will not be able to travel, and you have to quarantine. I don't know if you've heard that too, Jim, but this is what's coming down the chute, you know? Yeah.
That's breaking news, Rebecca. I'm so pleased you're on top of this story. They're doing god-awful things down in Australia as well. I mean, completely monstrous stuff. Brutally forcing people to all kinds of, you know, like vaccinations and whatever, stuff that no one in their right mind would do, they're being compelled to do by force in Australia.
Oh, yeah. I mean, if you want to know what it's going to be like in the United States 6 months to a year from now, just look at New Zealand, Australia, Canada, UK. I mean, this is some serious stuff. I mean, a pregnant woman who was trying to organize a rally to speak out against these illegal, unlawful mandates, mask wearing, 6 feet apart, closing your business, so on and so forth. She was, the police arrived at her apartment. She's pregnant. She tried to organize this rally on Facebook. Her little son saw her get arrested. This is absurd. This goes beyond absurd. It's a crime against humanity, what's going on. And, the very evil forces at work here, but, you know, we all have to be ready and be proactive. I know a lot of, there's a doctor in Ohio called, I think it's Pam Popper or Peg Popper. You can find her on YouTube. She's organizing a Make Americans Free Again campaign, and she's suing her governor. And you know what? I'm so happy to see people like that. I know a woman in Palm Springs served her entire council, local government council, served them with notices of being sued because they are breaking the law. They are going against our constitutional rights. And you know what? I'm so glad that more and more people are standing up and recognizing the absurdity and the blanket evil going on. I mean, the crimes they're doing against, especially the elderly and the nursing homes. Crimes against humanity. So I'm so glad more people are standing up, Jim.
Oh, you're so wonderfully articulate, Rebecca. I just love it. Here we have Ron Paul saying no to forced vaccinations. Here he writes, early reports don't look good. The failures and major side effects reported in coronavirus vaccine trials are downright scary. And remember, Ron Paul is himself a doctor. One trial was halted because a participant had to be hospitalized after developing transverse myelitis, a serious illness that landed her in the hospital. They're skipping critical safety steps with the coronavirus vaccine and are rushing it at light speed. This is hardly a path to something that will be considered safe for the general public. Are you okay? We're getting a lot of background.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, I think the mainstream masses are being cushioned against a lot of the stark realities and implications of these COVID mandates that are happening across the world. And what we see on mainstream media, it's very sanitized and cushioned and controlled because, you know, people are losing their freedoms to assembly, to protest against these COVID mandates. Of course, if you want to go out and protest against Black Lives or for Black Lives Matter and you've contrived other issues that you're free to congregate, I mean, this is very scary stuff coming down the pipeline at us, you know, and I think America's quite the stronghold in terms of the world. I mean, we stand by our Second Amendment. We stand by our First Amendment rights. And the world is going to have a tough time with us. They really are, you know. And
yes,
that's good.
Yes.
They've got to, you know, that's good.
You're 100% correct, Rebecca. Here, Ron Paul continues. Keep in mind, the participants in these trials were handpicked because they are in excellent health. Imagine what the results would be if they had underlying health conditions. To add insult to injury, several state governments are already throwing around the idea of making this unproven vaccine mandatory to be able to have access to basic services like public schools. I'm very concerned politicians and big pharma are just a few short weeks away from stripping away your health freedom in favor of profits for vaccine makers and more control for the government. I think he's got it right, Rebecca.
That's right. I mean, these vaccines are going to be forced very hard on the people. I mean, of course, many people are going to, who are blind kind of to what the truth of the reality of what's really going on, are just going to line up for them, right? But you know what? Those of us that know the truth about the danger of these vaccines and how we should have the freedom to say no, it's our bodies, We're not going to be able to travel. We're probably not going to be able to go to shopping at grocery stores soon. The implications are we probably won't be able to renew our driver's license. So the implications are going to be strong and fierce and far-reaching. And life as we know it as citizens of the United States of America is not going to be anything recognizable as it used to be. That's right.
Oh, Rebecca, I think you're spot on. Here's what Ron Paul also adds. The plans coming from states like Virginia and Ohio would strip away rights from those who haven't been vaccinated, just as you are suggesting. And Krongos has ideas about national mandates carried out with government force. Even President Trump, who has said any vaccine should be a matter of choice, has frequently mentioned that the military will be in charge of distributing the coronavirus vaccine. That hardly gives the impression that it will be anything but mandatory. That bothers me a lot, because I believe that President Trump, whose son Barron appears to have suffered the consequences of vaccinations early on, as a consequence, he's partially autistic, would be a major opponent of forced vaccinations, even of vaccinations generally, Rebecca.
Yeah, that's right. Let's hope, you know, Trump is, you know, stands up against these, this big push for vaccines. I mean, it doesn't look like he is in any way, unfortunately, but it looks like all sides of the game are pushing towards vaccine, vaccine, vaccine. And you know what? That's right. In Virginia and Ohio, they're putting up checkpoints, COVID testing checkpoints on major highways. If you test positive, which is a very arbitrary fake test in my opinion, then you will be restricted from continuing to travel on that highway. You will be pulled over and quarantined in one of these camps, which are obviously FEMA camps. And that's that. So, and this is already happening in Ohio, in Virginia, and Hawaii. So, of course, you won't see many reports about that in the mainstream media because they don't want people...
We go to a break now on this new show. So there's a break at the bottom and the top. We'll be right back in this break.
You're listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
Travels to Earth through the rainbow crystal bubbles from the furthest reaches of space and time, across the dimensions, through the elements, and in harmony with the colors of the universe. Through her mastery of abstract stream of consciousness malapropisms, she weaves a web of comic, satiric, cosmic conversation. Her subjects can range from Norman, the goose next door, to astrology and earth changes, and into the deep recesses of the soul matrix. She holds a wealth of knowledge on herbs, plants, and astrology. Join Mona and her guests on Adventures of a Feral Hippie as she touches the earthly radio waves 5 days a week at 2 p.m. Monday to Friday on Studio B at Revolution Radio.
Radio every Wednesday, 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, "This is a drill, this is a drill," on bullhorns during the marathon? that the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities, and that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of the library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs, but there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out And Nobody Died in Boston Either. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
All right, good day wherever you are in this world. I hope you're having a great day here listening to Revolution Radio. Everybody asks for this. Revolution Radio. Where the information never sleeps.
Even the government admits that 9/11 was a conspiracy. But did you know that it was an inside job? That Osama had nothing to do with it? That the Twin Towers were blown apart by a sophisticated arrangement of mini or micro nukes? That Building 7 collapsed 7 hours later because of explosives planted in the building? Barry Jennings was there. He heard them go off and felt himself stepping over dead people. The U.S. Geological Survey conducted studies of dust gathered from 35 locations in Lower Manhattan and found elements that would not have been there had this not been a nuclear event. Ironically, that means the government's own evidence contradicts the government's official position. 9/11 was brought to us compliments of the CIA, the neocons of the Department of Defense, and the Mossad. Don't let yourself be played. Read America Nuked on 9/11. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Well, this is your host, Jim Fetzer, and I'm delighted to have on the line both Rebecca of Newtown and Paul from California. Rebecca, why don't you complete your thought, and then I'll invite Paul to join the conversation.
Oh, sure. Yeah, I was just saying we need to be very cognizant of what's coming down the pipeline soon in terms of our freedoms, repercussions from these COVID mandates. I mean, they're in Ohio, in Virginia and Hawaii now. They're putting checkpoints on highways where they can arbitrarily just pull you over, give you a COVID test, and if you test positive, according to their inaccurate and probably rigged test, they can quarantine you right there. They're setting up camps, FEMA camps, obviously, and your travel will be restricted until they deem you free to travel once again. And you know, these kind of things we kind of knew were coming or kind of feared were coming, and they have arrived, and it's probably only going to get worse, I fear. But the one hope I do have, Jim, I wanted to say quickly, is a lot of people are really standing up against this in terms of suing their local governments, state governments, and governors. There's a woman, Dr. Popper, in Ohio that started a movement just recently now called Make America Free Again. I urge everyone to go on YouTube and look up Peg Popper, I believe is her name, and join the movement. We really need to stand up to our local, state, federal governments on this. Yeah.
Well, this is fabulous. We've now been joined also by Giuseppe from the District of Criminals. Paul, go ahead and give us your opening salvo.
Yeah, well, that all just sounds lovely, doesn't it? Roadside tests, FEMA quarantine camps. I don't know. I hope they have cable television is all, I can think of.
Yeah, right. I know. The ease of pain. How absurd.
Yeah, so I was actually going to comment exactly on what she just said, and then also what Rebecca said shortly before the half-hour break, that it's important to keep in mind that no matter how many little setbacks they have and how many little victories we have or little court decisions, these people will not stop, okay? That I keep reminding myself of the validity of that scene from Terminator 1, if we all know those movies.
It's yeah.
The one where Reese is in the car with Sarah Connor and
right.
telling her about the Terminator, and he basically says, they have no remorse and no pity, and they absolutely will not stop until you are dead. And I just want to hit people upside the head with the reality of what's occurring, because the vast majority of people that I encounter, that I interact with, are completely oblivious. They are so used to wearing their masks, and they think they're doing a good thing and they're doing their part. And even though many have admitted to me that they don't really care to wear them, quote, I just do it out of respect, or I just do it out of so I don't have to get in arguments. It's pathetic weakness. I have told multiple people now, you don't need to respect stupidity. I don't respect a fraud. I don't respect a hoax. I don't respect criminality. It's really hard to have this kind of personality all the time, and I don't particularly care for it, but there's no other way out. That's it for now, and I'll have plenty more later.
Well, that was a marvelous analogy to Terminators. They're remorseless. They're relentless. They have no remorse, no pity, and they are out to kill you, and nothing can stop them unless you destroy them. Giuseppe, I'm so pleased that you're here too, my friend. Please do join the conversation.
Greetings, Professor. Long time no talk.
Giuseppe and I just did our daily show earlier, you know, need to know, where Giuseppe's been doing just a marvelous job. I don't have enough opportunities to compliment you, Giuseppe. You've just been wonderful in organizing what we're doing now, given the collapse of the Real Deal reports, which went its way, ill-fated adventure that it was. I'm just delighted with what we're doing now.
Well, you're a legend, and your message is so vital right now. You're one of the true independent, accurate, authentic, lucid truth journalists available. So we got to get you out as much as possible. And speaking of another authentic, lucid truth journalist, I'm called in because I just wanted to say I'm a big admirer of Rebecca Carnes, and keep up the good work, young lady.
Thank you. And I certainly feel like all of us, or you guys do. I'm the only person I see around not wearing a mask, so it is discouraging, yeah.
But, oh, yeah, and greetings, Paul. I would like to comment on what Paul said, which is, you know, sadly, the entrainment, the mind control of the United States is so pervasive, so overwhelming, coming from every possible direction with television, radio, internet, the advertisements, that we have a nation of cowards now who go along to get along and get along to go along, and they're not gonna make a stink of it because I just gotta, you know, get to my next paycheck. I don't want to jeopardize my paycheck. And you know, it's sad, but Paul is a real hero for doing what he's doing, and actually so are we all, because I've never worn a mask, and I never will.
Well, the masks are just a sign of subjugation and humiliation, sad to say. Paul, did you want to add a next salvo to what you previously contributed?
Yeah, no, thanks, Giuseppe. I appreciate that. And yeah, there's many times, I got to be honest with you, I feel alone. Most of the places I go, I'm the only guy in the store. It's very unusual for me to see somebody else. And thankfully, most of the time, nothing is said. But I've had my share of interactions and arguments and hard words and, you know, looks, you know, like, what the heck is the matter with me, you know? It just reminds me of all the things I've gone through in my life, and people trying to convince me that I was wrong about something, or that it was, you know, that, that something about me was not right. And now when we're at, you know, this, what I would call a continuing series of crossroads, I just think back and I go, you know, I was always right, and I'm right now, and it's just, I'm not really that mad at people the way I kind of used to be, but it's kind of more like a resignation and a sadness about, God damn, what is the matter with you? It's like all the cows in the herd don't know where you're going, but some of them do, you know? And it's just these people. I had a woman tell me the other day in front of the coffee shop where I got in this hassle about masks, you know, and she's like, well, you know, you could just learn to pick your battles. And I just stared at her and I go, you know what? The kind of people that say that to me are the ones that never do any battle. And I didn't want to hurt her feelings, but this is the way I feel. This is the reality. The kind of people that say these sort of things like, well, we all just got to enjoy, or we all got to pick our battles. We know, all of us here on this call, we know exactly who these people are. In most cases, they're not going to do any battle for themselves. And in a lot of cases, they don't have your back either.
I'm sorry to say that's exactly right. Rebecca, your further thoughts.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, I just stopped at a gas station in New York State last week and I didn't wear a mask. And the manager hounded me immediately. And a young man in his 20s right next to me said, why don't you stop acting like an asshole, lady? I mean, literally, here I am, this middle-aged woman, you know, and I just got annihilated by these two people right away, men, actually. And it's like, wow, you know, and that's just me kind of standing my ground saying, listen, I'm a human being. I have a right to not be suffocated and muzzled. I have a right to get oxygenated blood to my brain and body. And you know what? I turned to them and I said, yeah, we the sheeple, right? And I said to that young man, and I left because he kind of, that's right, Paul and Giuseppe. They're just trying to say to themselves, they don't see the bigger picture. They're trying to say to themselves, I'm just going to give up this little right and of mine, and things are going to get better. Well, the more little rights you give away, and they're not really that little, the worse it's going to get. But they can't see what's the bigger picture of what's going on here. And I went through a period of being very frustrated and angry at these people and trying to debate them or convince them. And I've kind of settled into a position where I just try and set an example. And I don't wear a mask. And, you know, I'm friendly to people. And if they're going to start something with me, it's just kind of like, okay. And, I don't know what else to do other than write and speak out against it and try to set an example for people. Yeah.
Well, I think you're doing a great job, Rebecca. Giuseppe, join again.
I would say when I went to the chiropractor a few days ago, he's a smart guy, but he's wearing a mask because he wants to stay in business. He's like a year from retiring. Everyone in there was wearing a mask. They now had plexiglass shields up like a bank. And I walk in there with no masks and about a dozen people all like do double takes and their eyes grow wide and they're all looking at me like, what the hell is this guy not wearing a mask for? And then I just said, well, I guess since you're all wearing masks, I'm going to be okay.
That's right.
And then they parked me in an empty treatment room. So that was funny. So it's insane. It's so tragic. But, you know, like you covered earlier, Professor, that we're starting to win in the courts. We're starting to win in the courts. And eventually the truth about these RNA vaccine trials are killing people. I mean, I covered it a couple months ago on my Friday night radio show, The Perfect Triangle, on Studio A, 6 to 8 p.m., that no coverage in the U.S. or the U.S. search engines, but if you use the Russian search engine, you find out that they did a secret trial on high dose, and 8 were killed immediately, and 13 more a couple a month ago were on death's door, so they probably died as well. So I urge everyone, do not take a vaccine of any form. They're trying to push the flu vaccine early. And as like the great Dr. Judy Mikovits repeatedly says, it's in the vaccines. That's how these young, healthy people are manifesting the AIDS of the lung symptoms and the other bizarre symptoms. There's toxic poisons and triggers in every vaccine. So don't even get a flu vaccine anymore.
Well, as you know, I used an image today in our show of several questions over the face of Bill Gates. If the mask worked, why the 6 feet? If the 6 feet works, why the mask? If both work, why the lockdown? If all three work, why the vaccine? If the vaccine is safe, why no liability clause? I think that sums it pretty well. Paul, join back, Paul.
Yeah, I was just thinking about what kind of person volunteers to, try out the latest vaccine. It's hard for me to imagine that they would get too many people volunteering. I wonder what the pay is. They got to pay them something, right?
Well, you would think. I mean, it's pretty damn serious, I guess.
It's high money. It's big money to do that. Absolutely. That's why they get these people.
Big money to be a test subject for the vaccine.
Especially over there where they know it's dangerous. Yeah, they probably made like a year's wages.
To me, it's almost like, hey, you want to try out our newly designed guillotine? Okay,
yeah.
Sure.
Oh, that's the image in my mind exactly. Very, very nice. Rebecca, give us further thoughts from your location.
Yeah. Right. That's right. I mean, just like how you described your meme that you put up today about, well, if the masks work, why do we have to be 6 feet apart? It's the same thing as saying the truth. The truth is hidden in plain sight. And if anyone in America, or if the majority in America, were able to use critical thinking, they could piece this easily together. But as you pointed out many times, the masses are for generations in a long time. And I have to say also, Jim, that you were right about the mass lowering the IQ because of less oxygen to the brain. That's pretty apparent too.
I know, it's amazing, Rebecca. The whole nation is going to jump an average of 5 points because of wearing these goddamn masks. It's unbelievable.
The truth is hidden in plain sight, and if people would just open their eyes a little bit wider and use critical thinking, I mean, it's almost mockingly absurd what they're telling us. Yeah.
I agree, Paul.
You know, I was just going to say, pointing out on the whole intelligence thing, there's a combination of things going on. And one of them is just, you know, if people, I don't know if you can hear that noise. Sorry about that.
Go ahead.
There's some hammering going on nearby.
Well, just go ahead. Just plow through.
Okay, so anyway, what I was going to say is the fact of the matter is most people are just not aware and don't make much effort to learn certain things. And I am the first to say that. I've asked probably in the last 2 to 3 months, maybe 30 to 40 people about viruses versus bacteria and if they knew what a virus was. And not one person has offered anything. I mean, literally, they have almost no words. In fact, to her credit, one woman actually pulled her phone out. Let me do that now. And she did the Ask Siri right in front of me. Okay. And it's just, this is what we're dealing with, is people that are not willing in general to look any further than what they're getting from, the so-called mainstream media, and to give that, you know, what I would call the first, first priority, if you will, in terms of what it is that they think is reality without knowing anything. And I've had the most absurd things said to me, like the other day somebody said, okay, so because you can't see something, Paul, you don't think it's real? That's like, no, did I say that? Is that right? Really what you take away from my position?
Right.
But,
straw man
but the bottom
argument,
line, just,
straw man yeah, argument like, to use against you because you're not conforming to their expectations based on their own false beliefs, which they believe so intensely they can't imagine anyone thinking anything different than do they. Giuseppe, your thoughts. Paul, you can mute until I call on you again. Then we get rid of the background.
Paul's point is really well made, that the whole conform or you're a threat to me mentality is horrible, because in reality, people should wake up and look at the threat of this global mandatory vaccine agenda and the 10-year effort by the psychopath, satanic lunatic Bill Gates, who wants to be the Earth vaccine messiah, and the amazing spider web he's built of controlling the World Health Organization, Gavi, the CDC, and all these other non-governmental organizations that form this deadly spider web, and in unison with the other six giant vaccine big pharma companies. It's just insane. And they're, like Paul said in his opening statements, the Terminator movie, they're not going to stop. They're not going to go away. He's right. And we have to fight back just as hard. And, you know, it's going to be horrible for the people who jump on this because they believe it, and to watch members of their family die, to watch members of their family forever altered and suffering horribly because the body is constantly trying to destroy itself with to fight inflammation, because it thinks it's being rewritten, and it sees it as a foreign, its own body as a foreign entity, and so the immune system will turn against itself. It's just going to be terrible, and yet they're full speed ahead with it.
Well, Giuseppe, you're making so many important points. It seems to me we're entering a new era of a domestic civil war, except everyone is divided, not geographically, but politically. It's going to be most of the Democrats against most of the Republicans and independents. It's stunning to think of it that way, but it's certainly how it's playing out.
Well, that's one of the globalist key tricks, is divide and conquer.
Yeah, I agree. Paul, your thought.
Well, you know, and staying on this topic too about vaccines and viruses, so yes, I'm one of those people that, of course, obviously thinks that Trump is, you know, by far the better choice than Biden. I mean, but I'm also wary of the fact that, you know, I sort of tend to believe that they wouldn't have chosen Biden unless they really wanted this to happen. In other words, we have, in my opinion, one of two choices in front of us. Either A, that they want Biden to go ahead and lose on purpose so that Trump can be president, or B, they want to tell us that Biden won and Trump lost, which we will not believe, so that we're going to have the kind of civil unrest that, you know, it's hard to imagine, but probably they planned for. So, you know, that's looming on the horizon, too. I think it's just these people, and we all know these Presbyterian bastards that have been running this stuff for a couple hundred years. I don't think that they have any intention of letting one good crisis not lead to another. I think they're just going to keep putting a series of things in front of us to, of course, divert our attention and maintain our attention. Meanwhile, I just think that we only need to have one goal in mind, you know, bearing in mind what I said about the Terminator, and Giuseppe knows it's true. Jim, I think at this point you firmly believe it's true, that these people have shown that they're bound and determined to do whatever it is they have on their agenda, and they're not going to stop until we stop them. I don't think there's anything less in front of us than a complete and thorough and relentless revolution until goals are met or we're dead.
Well, Paul, I think by the end of 2019, the Democrats could see that Trump was cruising to reelection and that the coronavirus would help them to take away what is traditionally a candidate for reelection's strongest qualification, namely a surging economy. And they have gone about trying to destroy the economy, but frankly, it's backfiring.
I'm being pulled over by the cops. Can I keep you on, please?
Wowee.
I'm being pulled over by the cops. Can I keep you on, please?
Yes. Oh, yes.
Wow.
Roll up your sleeve, Rebecca. You're going to get a shot.
94. Okay,
Paul, that's funny.
We'll go ahead and record it, Mitchell. Make sure we get all of this.
Oh, yeah, but it's on speakerphone.
All right, but you realize you can't have any man at all.
Oh, I'm so sorry, sir.
Hey, tell that cop he's on the Jim Fletcher show.
Paul, Paul, shut up.
Oh, no, no, sir. I have a scheduled appointment to have it renewed on the 21st because, you know, it expired on the 25th, but they're doing these delays. You
know. And is the vehicle in your name or someone else?
Yes, it's in my name, sir.
Just keep your seatbelt on.
Sir. Hey, Jim?
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, he says he pulled me over because he saw me holding my cell phone. It's on speakerphone, and I don't know. I suspect they might know I'm even talking to you because I'm obviously a targeted individual in traffic.
Sure.
I'm surprised.
Has he gone back to his vehicle?
He has, Jim, and I'm sorry. I don't mean to use your show in this manner, but I get a little scared.
Rebecca, I wanted you on. This is fine.
Yeah, you know, I mean, obviously your viewers know that I speak out and write about Sandy Hook. I live in Newtown, Connecticut, grew up here, a long third-generation resident. But I do, because of this, when this COVID thing broke, I try to weave that into my stories because Sandy Hook was about an assault against our Second Amendment rights, but it was also a control-by-fear agenda. And just like 9/11, and now it's come to a crux with this COVID thing. And I am definitely a targeted individual. I just crossed the border to New York State from Connecticut, but I'm sure my cell phone's tracked, and I'm sure not the only reason I wasn't pulled over here was because I had my cell phone on speaker.
Is he writing up a warning or a ticket?
He is checking my registration and license right now.
Okay. The catch is we're going to a break. Mitchell, it's important you keep recording Rebecca. Is there some way you can continue to record Rebecca? I'd like to hear that, too, in spite of the break. Can you manage that? Mitchell. Okay, good.
Yeah, Jim, I'm going to put the break on hold.
Thank you, Mitchell. Very, very good. Rebecca, we're staying with you.
Okay, thanks, Jim. I appreciate it.
Yeah, we'll go to the break after we have the, your legal thing here is settled. And yeah. I think we'll just pay attention to your legal thing until it's clear. I'm figuring about 5 minutes max.
Great live radio here.
Feel free to talk. I'll break in if I need to, Jim, if that's okay.
Okay. Paul, you want to add a few thoughts here, though I'm very concerned about Rebecca.
The obvious thought I'm sure many of us had is, hey, what's coming, probably what they want, is license registration and, say, COVID pass. Right,
travel pass. Right. Okay. Vaccination card, yeah. Giuseppe, yeah. Your thoughts.
Well, what's so insidious is Bill Gates has patented and has the technology for something called a quantum tattoo where you're inked with a certain kind of nanoparticle that can be written to. So all they have to do is scan your Mark of the Beast quantum tattoo.
That's just awful. Catherine Austin Fitz has a wonderful article. It's on my blog, though I think it might be about 6 or 8 deep if you're looking for it, about how what they have in these vaccines consists of things like fetal tissue, heavy metals, a mind-brain interface, that it's got your financial records. And, of course, that's the key. That's why they want to vaccinate everyone. They made all finances digital so that if you don't behave – since your only access to money is digital, they can simply cut you off. You won't even be able to eat. I think that's the plan, and that's why they're putting so much pressure on a vaccine, Giuseppe.
That's exactly right, Professor. It's what do they call it these days? The pithy phrases, the new normal, the great reset. And then they're going to come up for some more phrases once they get to the first usable vaccine, which will certainly not be usable, but they're at such a breakneck pace. But it's just insane. Essentially, the globalists, which you think about it, there's only maybe at most a couple thousand of these subhuman Satanists, and yet they're enslaving over 7 billion people. It's just pure insanity.
Yes.
And the point worth making is that it is working. I mean, there's no doubt about the fact that people are becoming accustomed to this. They're used to it. And I've had many people go, oh, I don't mind it. You know, and this is one of the reasons why I just can't do it. I mean, I stare. There's a bag I have in my car from when I was working because they provided me with two masks, a blue surgical one and the black. I hate the black ones. I really just can't stand those kind of black foamy masks, right? But I just look at them and I go, once I start doing this, that's it. I'm going down a road that I would never go down without this ridiculous peer pressure. And, you know, you just get used to it. I see people walking around all the time like it's just a shirt and pair of pants. You know, they just do it.
Yeah, it's embarrassingly bad, Paul. Right. The last thing we want to do is get used to an absurd situation that's going to cost our health, our lives, our welfare, our liberty. It's just a disgrace.
And it's human nature.
Pause.
Hey, do so. Like I said, I believe you, but technically you can't even drive it with your license.
Oh, okay. No. I believe there's been an order to give a 6-month waiver.
Like I said, when I run it, it goes back to the supplier. So,
no,
you don't have any documentation or anything like that?
That's why I said, for my appointment.
Okay. But like I said, I'm not gonna do that to you. You gotta get that taken care of, and I would carry whatever you got on your person. All right, so like they give you a receipt saying that you have an appointment.
I'm not gonna, like I said, we're concerned with this cell phone.
You can't have it in your hand looking down like that.
Oh yes, sir.
I'm telling you, you're gonna get it out.
Oh, okay, sir.
Yeah. So, are you license? Yeah, I guess you're going to keep that but clean on the wall.
Oh, yeah.
You need to go back.
Yeah.
So, I'm not telling you what to do, but if you plead not guilty, the court is probably more than willing to work with you to reduce it.
So, we are receiving the citation for it. Oh.
Like I said, plead not guilty, your license is pleased, so they're probably going to knock you down.
Oh.
Right?
Okay.
If you want to just pay the fine, for whatever reason, plead guilty, and then obviously they'll send you out with the fine.
No, I'm gonna check whether there's reciprocity in New York for the legalities, and if there's a 6-month waiver for COVID.
Oh, really?
There's a 6-month waiver on place for no because of COVID. No one can go to DC, okay. And I have my appointment. Oh. So I'm gonna reserve reciprocity in New York, and I don't think I'm gonna be fighting that.
Okay.
Thank you.
Fair enough, but I said, this is for the cell phone, not for the life.
Okay.
All right, so. Feel free to do whatever you want. Like I said, you do have that up.
Thank you, sir. All right. Bye-bye.
So tell us, what was the upshot, Rebecca?
He gave me a ticket. But he gave me a ticket for, I can't even see how much it is for, but.
But it had to do with your cell phone.
Yeah, but he said I could have your vehicle towed because your license expired August 25th. However, I think a lot of your viewers realize this. Because of COVID, you can't go to DMV and you can't renew your license anywhere. So I had to make an appointment. They're doing appointments 6 months out. Now, 2 months ago, I made an appointment for September 21st to get my license renewal at a DMV satellite office. But, boy, I would assume there's reciprocity in New York State for a Connecticut law.
Yeah.
I don't know, Jim. Boy, welcome to
New York.
Yeah, you know, the people reference what's going on in the world right now to 1984 and Brave New World. I call it the Brave New Normal World, you know, which is not normal at all. And being a targeted individual and stuff, I got a little freaked out when he pulled me over. Luckily, I'm not an imposter or anything. Right.
Gratitude, Rebecca. Be thankful he didn't kneel on your neck or shoot you 7 times in the back.
Well, that's right. I think, yeah. You gotta count your blessings. And you know what I did? I did say right before he came back. I did. I prayed to God quickly. I said, please protect me. Give me the armor of God here, because you never know what they're gonna do. You know.
It sounded to me as though he was reasonably professional and polite.
Yes, that's right. I guess he didn't, Jim, I guess he didn't Google me, huh? Otherwise, they would have been handcuffed probably, right?
Ridiculous, Rebecca, ridiculous. I got to ask, I got to ask Mitchell if he needs to run the break now. Or Mitchell, are we okay, or do you want to run the break now late?
We're okay, Jim. We can keep going.
Okay. Very, very good. Rebecca, are you okay in proceeding now from this point?
Yes, I'm sorry for the interruption, and I really appreciate your viewers and your guests bearing with me there. Thank you.
100%. I wish we could be with you all the time to keep a record of what's going on. Because as you well know, you are a targeted individual, and there are many who do not wish you well.
Well, that's right, especially Stephen Sidensky, the Newtown resident, and, of course, the state's attorney that issued the Sandy Hook report, you know. So I've had a big target on my back, especially in Connecticut, especially locally in Newtown. So that's right, yeah.
Indeed. Okay, well, can you continue then with the show?
Absolutely. So it's like, that's fine, yep.
Okay. Well, let's go back to Paul then, and then we'll go to Giuseppe and come back to Rebecca. Paul first.
You know what? Go ahead to, Giuseppe right now. I'm just a quick little break.
I got quiet in the background there, Paul. I don't know how that happened, but I'm glad. Giuseppe, your thoughts?
Well, first off, I'm glad Rebecca's okay. That was really excellent live radio on the scene. Live coverage, which was pretty cool. And I would say that, the new normal, she put it exactly right. It's all such a way to control the great herd and enslave us more. And the most despicable element to this is they're never going to give freedoms back. Once they take freedoms, they're going to maintain control. And that's what all these goofs who are wearing the masks and being compliant and obedient don't realize, that they're not going to give you back your way of life.
Paul, do you want to add here?
Yeah, you know what I would add right here at the moment? You know, I was hoping that you would ask me, hey, Paul, how's it going out there in California with all those wildfires? So I'll just I'll bring it up myself.
Sure.
In my nearly 50 years in this state, starting at age 14, I've never seen anything like this. Day after day after day after day of smoky, weird orangish-gray skies where you can barely see the sun. It's just this weird kind of dystopian, foreboding type of feeling. And if you all saw that despicable swamp creature, Gavin Newsom, with his lizard lip-licking, just nauseating smirk on his face, talking about, oh, you want to see climate change? Come to California. So these people, okay, these Terminator agents, they have absolutely no respect for anybody's intelligence at all when they can go, you know, arson somehow, and by the way, also directed energy weapons, no doubt about some of these photos, directed energy weapons, and people even saying, there's this one little video where this woman goes, yeah, they did. The houses, really, the buildings got destroyed, but the trees were okay. I mean, she just says it, and she says it in a way not of awareness, okay, but like obliviousness. But here's that sleazy scumbag slickster Newsom with a smirk on his face telling us that, yeah, that arson is now climate change. It's just unbelievable.
Well, Newsom just signed a bill minimizing the penalties for adults to have sex with young people. I mean, it was disgraceful, Paul. I mean, California is leading the pedophile nation. I mean, it's outrageous. It's disgusting beyond belief.
And another neighbor is moving off of the street. That's two in the last 6 or so months. And, of course, you've all seen the articles online. People are leaving California, going to Texas, Idaho, Nevada, Oregon, Washington, driving up real estate prices, too.
Hey, Mitchell, did I miss the caller from the 203 area? Did I miss the caller from the 203? Who was it? Mitchell.
Let me look, Jim. Oh gosh.
I'm sure we still got Giuseppe. We still got Paul. We still got Rebecca.
Rebecca was the 203 number earlier.
Oh, was she?
Yeah. Yeah, I programmed the name in now, so it should say Rebecca, but yeah.
Can you call her back?
Sure. I can call her
please
back.
Do. Please do. Please do. Meanwhile, Giuseppe, give us your thoughts.
I was astounded at
Giuseppe,
Paul.
Are you?
I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. I was astounded at that weasel rodent Gavin Newsom's recorded speech the other day that Paul's referring to. He's got this smarmy, arrogant smirk on his face, and he just looked like such an empty suit, a lightweight little weasel who's just a gleeful to be carrying out his master's dictates. It's just what a sad state of affairs it is out there for you, Paul.
We got Rebecca back. Let me plug in with her, and then we'll go to you, Paul. Rebecca.
Oh, I know. Just in response to Paul's status out there on the California wildfires, it is very scary. I've seen some videos on that. I mean, the mainstream media is literally calling it apocalyptic, you know, which for them to call it apocalyptic and grew up that kind of fear, it's pretty significant and scary all around. I mean, I've heard different theories that they're trying to, of course, whip up more fear and chaos, but also some theories that maybe they're trying to cut down on people's escape routes or something. I don't know, but it's hard to know why they're doing this directed energy attack on the forest there and what that how that ties into the COVID thing, which I'm sure it does as well, too, yeah.
I think I have a fairly intuitive answer to it, and of course it's been proffered before by Deborah Tavares and others. But they're doing it a lot in these remote areas, in these small towns, where one, there's not a huge population of witnesses, right? And two, just to let, I guess, to send the message, to also do the actual physical restriction and prevention, but also to send the message, you know, they're basically going to hurt us. They're going to hurt us into these more densely populated areas, and we're not going to be allowed to go out on our own, on the land, in small groups, and make our own way of life. Okay, that's what they are trying to prevent, in my opinion, among other things. And have you all seen some of the little satellite images of the tremendous amount of smoke that's being poured out from both Oregon and Washington and California? It's just stunning.
Oh, I know the air quality must be horrendous. I mean, more so than it was. And I think you're right. They're trying to get people into these future smart cities that are hooked up on the 5G smart grid. And that's right. They're trying to make rural communities look dangerous and untenable to live
yes.
in. And that's right. We're going to herd everyone into these smart cities. I think you're spot on, Paul. Yeah.
Yeah.
The
yeah.
smart cities are going to consist of vast numbers of tiny cubicles where no one really has any property to speak of, and everyone is under the thumb of the government.
Smart cities with full of stupid people, just like now.
Yeah,
that's right. I mean, everything with the term smart in front of it is, that's right. You can just insert evil in my
that's
opinion.
Right. It's scary, yeah. right. It's a marketing gimmick to make you think that if you turn it down, then you're not smart yourself. To turn down a smartphone or a smart city or this, that, a smart meter, which got you into all that
Please
absurd
leave a
trouble,
message.
Rebecca.
Thank you.
How outrageous.
That's right. Yeah, that's right. It's really a loss of community. All these smart devices, we're losing our humanity, our freedoms, our connection with each other. You know, we've got our noses in these smartphones all the time. Now we've got our mouths muzzled and suffocated, and our Zooms, our faces. We don't talk to each other. We can't congregate anymore. I mean, some of it's self-inflicted with the cell phone mania. But that's right. These smart devices are going to be hooked up to the vast Internet of Things 5G smart grid. and the radiation coming off these things that are very similar, extremely similar to the COVID symptoms, is very alarming and very not a coincidence in my opinion, right?
I think you're right. Giuseppe, your thoughts?
I think the globalists have been at this for a long time. It used to be called Agenda 21. Now it's called Agenda 30. And now they're calling it the Green New Deal. And it's just a scam to herd the goyim into great pens of megacities. And you live in a little apartment cube and the retail's below you. You don't need a car anymore. You can... with the new normal, you can work at home and you can go outside and walk around a little bit as long as you have your vaccines up to date. And it's just satanically evil.
It sounds just boring. Boring as shit.
Yeah,
you know,
and when you think about it.
Go ahead, Rebecca. No, go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say it's so maniacal when you consider the fact that how they weaved it all together, because with this COVID thing, they said, oh, now we have to all work from home, right? And the pressure on the system to support all of that Wi-Fi connectivity, oh, we have to have 5G. Oh, you know, roll it out faster. You know, the maniacal way it all weaves together is pretty insidious and scary, that's for sure. Yeah.
You make a lot of great connections, Rebecca. I love it. You are really on top of so many issues. Giuseppe. Yeah, go ahead. Rebecca?
Yes, I would say that we should have Rebecca come on Need to Know one of these days. She would be an excellent second commentator.
She'd be a marvelous commentator. We will approach you, Rebecca, about coming on this show where we're doing...
I would love to, and I'm really honored with the invite. You know, you guys, and it's great, and that's right, you know, and I, like I said before, of course I'm centered on the Sandy Hook thing, and it was 7 years ago, and that's what I write and speak about mostly. But, you know, I try to say in my post that Sandy Hook was the snake rattle in the grass, and now the snake head coming out of the grass is this COVID thing. It ties everything together, 9/11, the Boston bombing, Sandy Hook, it's all this control by fear. 9/11, of course, was, you guys know the Patriot Act and giving up our rights. But, of course, Sandy Hook was an assault on our Second Amendment and furthering of this control by fear agenda. It's unfortunately seems, guys, like it's come to a crux. You know, that's the scary thing about it. Yeah.
Very.
Well, what's fascinating is that the lead senator who takes credit for writing a majority of the Patriot Act when it was first run up the flagpole in the Senate in 1995 was none other than Joe Biden. Shows what a globalist traitor he is.
Wow, I didn't know that. Wow. Yeah.
Well, Biden is, he's a lost cause. He's totally senile. He's in dementia. We had a very long report today from a former member of the staff outlining how they've got him on an anti-dementia medication that has the unfortunate side effect of making him incontinent. So now they're having a staff meeting about the type of adult diaper he ought to be wearing. I think where his future, Joe Biden is going to be making the ads for Depends.
Right.
I pledge allegiance to the president, Kamala Harris, and her vice president.
No, that's scary.
Some other black woman and the cabinet, all Jews. Oh, America, the beautiful.
I kind of feel like Biden's a vehicle to just usher in Kamala Harris as president. I feel like if the Democrats do win, and I think they probably will, that he's going to suffer a stroke or something convenient where they can get in their first black woman president. And boy, is she a liberal leftist and controlled. Yeah,
it's interesting you made that observation because I don't think the Democrats have a prayer, Rebecca. I think it's going to be a landslide. I think the public is so outraged by the rioting, the looting, the fires, the arson. I think
it's
a crucial issue.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah. Jim, I would agree with you on that, but I think it was Paul or Giuseppe that made a very lucid comment about how if Trump were to lose, the divisiveness and the chaos that would ensue, which they love, the powers that be love. I mean, and of course Trump will say, oh, the Democrats cheated with the ballots, and of course that's going to brew up more divisiveness, political fighting, chaos. And I think that's maybe what they're going to do, just to brew up a distraction, chaos, and infighting, divide and conquer, in order to obfuscate what's really going on with COVID and everything some more. Yeah.
Well, they've already laid out their game plan. They're admitting that Trump's going to look like he has an enormous victory on the 3rd of November. And then they're going to mess with the mail-in ballots, and they're going to know how many they need in each state. That's their game plan, to manipulate the mail-in ballot vote to make it come out for Biden eventually. I think Trump is too smart to let that happen.
By the way, too, that was me, Rebecca. The way that you can know that is that the comment was lucid. I couldn't resist that. I will say this, the further thoughts, if you guys don't mind, on the Terminator scenario, which was in my head earlier today when I just thought about using it when I called, is that I again watched another one of these YouTube videos, and I share maybe when I send something to you, Jim, and Giuseppe and the others, you're getting maybe one-tenth or so of what I've looked at.
Sure.
And, you know, I almost thought about sharing this one, too, because it was of another completely irrational, unbelievable, screeching, histrionic-filled encounter with these Antifa types who tend to be normally females and also, in many cases, more times than not, say, non-white, although there's plenty of stupid white women that are going for this. But it just made me think about the fact that these people are indeed a real enemy. Okay, you can say that they're useful idiots and they're tools and they're pawns and they're being funded and all that sort of a thing, but they're not acting. Okay, they are indeed completely intellectually void, completely and totally hysterical, and they don't have any idea of what's going on, and it doesn't really matter to them because all they want to do is lash out. And it's something that we're going to have to reckon with. There's no doubt about it. And I believe in many cases they are indeed just like the Terminator, and there isn't any way to deal with them. I mean, I laugh at sometimes you see these conservative types doing the whole man on the street thing with their little microphone, and they're trying to like engage them and talk to them and ask them questions. And I know Giuseppe is probably shaking his head at that notion the same way I am. Am I right or am I right?
By the way, I'm inviting Mitchell to join the conversation. He has some thoughts he'd like to contribute. Mitchell, please do join the conversation.
Yeah. Hey, everybody. Of course, you know, as you were talking a few minutes ago, you know, both Joe Biden and Kamala Harris has referred to the administration as the Harris administration.
Yeah.
yeah. I'd like to point out that, you know, of course, Joe's cognitive decline is pretty evident. But what I would say is that, you know, the legs and the walk, the gait of a person is one of the first things that, you know, really kind of goes and gets taken out from under them. And if you notice, Joe Biden will run out. And he'll be okay for six or seven more steps, but then he'll walk like his feet are floppy,
very
and stiff legged, kind of somewhat.
Mitchell, that's fascinating.
And I thought that was kind of strange.
We'll get Giuseppe to pick up on that. Giuseppe, can you see that as a symptom?
Oh, that's absolutely a symptom of. Dementia and Alzheimer's patients, the ability for the brain to fire. You know, what's interesting, most people don't realize that the nerve from the brain down to your feet or your legs is just one cell, one amazingly long cell. And the myelin sheath, as you get older or when you're younger and you have MS, it begins to erode. And so the connection, the electricity that it drives everything wears away. So yeah, I've noticed that too, Mitchell. That's an excellent observation.
Very much so. Paul, you want to add? Paul?
So just continuing with what I was just saying about these Antifa types, it's also worth noting on the same theme, you know, because it just reminded me when we're talking about Biden and his, shall we say, low functionality at this point, is what they're pushing upon us, of course, what they're pushing on us is this idea, you know, of blacks as equals, right? Blacks are somehow, just because of their skin color, have been deprived of all the opportunities that other races have had because, you know, of, you know, what? Conservatives, of Nazis, of white privilege, you know, you name it. And I was just looking the other day at some research, which I accessed through the website National Vanguard, and I pointed this out on another call, and it's worth bringing up again. And it's not a form of bashing, but it's just a reality check that when you overlap the bell curve of the white IQ scores with the black IQ scores, that almost 90% of blacks fall below the white average.
Yes.
So you think about that for a sec. So it's not just a 15-point differential on the test, and it is that. And by the way, the reason it's only 15 points is because most American blacks have some white in them. If they're African blacks, it'd be even lower. So to repeat this, 90% of blacks fall below the average score for whites. Now, here's something else that was also part of this research. And by the way, what this article was mentioning is a lot of this stuff has been scrubbed. This was all well known all the way up to the 40s and the 50s and the 60s, and they started to scrub it all in the 70s. And all this research has been very well documented. So all kinds of achievement and intelligence tests have revealed this interesting fact. So generally, a 70% on most of these tests was considered passing, right, which is essentially just the low end of a C. Jim was an academic, so he knows about 70s and 80s and 90s, right? So 58% of whites passed with a score of 70 or above on all kinds of various intelligence and achievement tests, okay? This is consistent throughout. 58% passed at a score of 70 or above. Only 12% of blacks passed
with 70 or above. Paul, pick up here after the break. We missed a break. Okay. We can miss this one, too. Go ahead, Mitchell. Thanks.
All right.
Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
Be evasive.
But that doesn't mean that they're telling the truth as opposed to fiction.
And Genesis chapter 6, verse 4, and there were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came unto the daughters of men, indicating that there were giants before the Nephilim.
And sons of God, plural. They weren't talking about Jesus coming down.
No, that's right. Yeah.
I'm Steve Crawford, host of Factor Theory Live. Join me every Sunday night from 10 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. Check it out.
Even the government admits that 9/11 was a conspiracy. But did you know that it was an inside job? That Osama had nothing to do with it? That the Twin Towers were blown apart by a sophisticated arrangement of mini or micro nukes? That Building 7 collapsed 7 hours later because of explosives planted in the building? Barry Jennings was there. He heard them go off and felt himself stepping over dead people. The U.S. Geological Survey conducted studies of dust gathered from 35 locations in Lower Manhattan and found elements that would not have been there had this not been a nuclear event. Ironically, that means the government's own evidence contradicts the government's official position. 9/11 was brought to us compliments of the CIA, the neocons of the Department of Defense, and the Mossad. Don't let yourself be played. Read America Nuked on 9/11. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the internet.
Please help support this station so this battle can continue forward. Revolution Radio!
Hi, everybody. It's me, the Fetch, host of Inside the Eye Live. Before the Sunday mainstream media, political pundit talk shows, there is Inside the Eye Live, where we break down some of the weekly mainstream media talking points before the talking points even get aired. Add in some entertaining stories, weather, cats, intriguing and informative guests, and you get one of the most listened to Saturday morning streaming media political talk shows going today. And it's all right here on our flagship station, Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. So join me, the Fetch, for Inside the Eye Live every Saturday morning at 10 o'clock a.m. Eastern. It is truly intelligent media for the politically aware.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Well, we're in the home stretch now. Rebecca, can you hang in for the last half hour of the show?
Oh, sure. That'd be great. Thanks.
Excellent. Yeah. Excellent. I want to turn to Paul's comments. Would that I could offer evidence to contradict it. I can only do the opposite. Although Paul may be unaware, I think his new favorite among my books is entitled The Evolution of Intelligence, where I document exactly the points Paul has been making. It turns out if you take the average IQ of Americans as 100, the average IQ of blacks turns out to be 80. The average IQ of Asians and Jews, interestingly, is high. I think the average IQ of Jews is around 118 and is the highest of the subgroups. So there you have evidence that was very well documented when I published the book. I believe it was in 2007. Paul, I think you want to pick it up. The Evolution of Intelligence, that book is still available on Amazon. Just find the least expensive. It was in a paperback. Find the least expensive copy. I think you're going to like it.
I will indeed. I have just enough money left to get it, I believe. But yeah, and I wanted to make clear, and I probably don't have to do it on this show, but I just want to make clear. I'm not doing this because I'm obsessed with racism and all this sort of thing. It's just part of the equation, and it's because of what we're being overwhelmed with. It's what they're throwing at us, and it speaks to what I call the underlying agenda of destruction. The only reason they're doing it is because they know it will end up in destruction. Nobody who is sober, is reasonable, sober, and somewhat intelligent could fail to see the differences in societies and groups composed of like individuals. Okay.
Well,
a
Paul,
little bit of travel.
Paul, there's been a huge amount of research in this area. I mean, you've signed the bell curve, one of the classics, but I brought together a whole host of different sources that all confirm the same conclusions. Let me just add that when you look at Black Lives Matter and Antifa, if you had a group collectively that was really not very resourceful, not very capable, but felt they'd like to have benefits that they didn't have to actually earn because they're not capable of earning them. If you could conduct riots and looting and even arson and demand white people to give up their homes to those who are demanding them on some specious ground of racism, systemic racism, the existence of which is very much in doubt, then you might have the phenomenon we have now, because that's exactly what's going on in American communities across the nation.
Right. And I'm not going to touch, I will touch upon, but I'm not going to get very much into the actual physiological reasons for this. But that research, as this article and other articles have pointed out, that research has been shelved too. And there was a quote from one like anatomy professor from way back when, talking about when one contemplates the difference anatomically between the average brain of a Caucasian and the brain of a Negro side by side, not only is the white brain larger in terms of the relation to the size of the skull, but is also much more developed and has more convolutions. It's almost as if they're two different species. So returning to this idea of testing and test scores, again, a lot of people make light of the fact, well, it's only a 15-point differential, blah, blah, blah. Well, Jim, you'll find this interesting. This is right from this one article that I have in front of me, and it's from what they call the U.S. government's PACE examination, P-A-C-E. Apparently, it's some kind of test that they give to prospective professional or administrative civil service employees who have a university degree, okay? And each year, upwards of 200,000 people, 200,000 potential employees take this test, so they have a lot of data. So, ready for this one? 16% of whites score 90 or above. Okay, so only 16% of white applicants make a score of 90 or above. Blacks, 1/5 of 1% score 90 or above.
Talking about differences among the races is an inevitable consequence of the politics of identity that the Democrats have been promoting for nearly 30 years now. I mean, they live in a world of mass illusion. They seem to think all human groups are comparable in their abilities and dispositions. It's ridiculous. There's a mountain of evidence that disproves it, a mountain. And I tell you, I think this is going to be your new favorite book, The Evolution of Intelligence. Don't miss it, Paul.
Okay. Well, thank you, Jim. And I'm glad that we're, you know, mostly seeing eye to eye on this, that there's some things that we just have to treat in a realistic manner. And a society built upon, you know, what's known as egalitarianism, okay, or so-called equality, which doesn't exist, in my opinion, is a society doomed for conflict and possible failure. And
well, let's just say in this instance, I wrote the book on it.
Okay. Well, kudos to you, Jim, and I'll look forward to reading it.
Yeah, you want that book. Giuseppe, your thoughts?
I think that one of the key points that the Democrats miss in their argument, their specious argument of egalitarianism, is the fact that no one is the same. We are all different. But if the Democrats really did serve the poor, the working class, and the middle class, they'd establish realistic opportunities for people who can't go to college, who are limited in their abilities, to at least have some way to make a living and to feel as though they are functional in society. And instead, they throw them a check. They get the lower classes addicted to this check. They're not in any way taught or trained to be self-sufficient and resourceful. And so you create this cycle of dysfunction, this cycle of poverty, and it's all intentional because, unfortunately, the oligarchs, the plutocrats, the globalists, they want that violent underclass. They want to instill fear in the great majority of the bell curve of the middle of the population. They want us all to be fearful because that's another way to control us.
Let me just add, by the way, that the publisher, Open Court, located in Chicago, very reputable. I published 6 or 7 books with Open Court, including my first 3 on JFK, Assassination Science 1998, Murder in Dealey Plaza 2000, and The Great Zapruder Film Hoax 2003. The publisher really liked the book, The Evolution of Intelligence, and he sent it to a whole lot of review sites hoping that liberal reviewers, such as for the New York Times, would pick it up. He thought, after all, it ought to be challenging to them because it denies what seems to be a fundamental premise, never substantiated but taken for granted, that all these diverse racial groups are comparable in their intellectual abilities, which the book refutes. He was frustrated none of them would pick it up. He even pointed out that at the time, I regard myself as a Democrat. I voted for Bill Clinton twice, for Barack Obama twice. I've obviously gone in a different direction as the party has left me high and dry. I believe the principles I held way back when as a JFK FDR Democrat are the same principles for which Donald Trump stands today. So I'm very glad to be a supporter of our present president. He is, it's no contest between him and Joe Biden. But my publisher was just utterly fascinated that no one would pick up on the issue to debate it. I think perhaps they felt that my research was simply too solid that they couldn't make the case.
That's exactly right, Jim.
It made too many people uncomfortable, more than likely.
Rebecca.
Oh, yeah. Just in response to the earlier comments on this egalitarianism coming, being funneled through the liberal left, I mean, it's really eradicated meritocracy in this country. And what a shame, because we want our most competent, our most intellectually advanced people at the top of our society. Otherwise, our society will crumble. And it will not be the force that it has been in decades past. And that's exactly what's happening. And I think it's important to note, and I probably misspoke before when I said the intelligence is dropping fast in this country. It's really, there's a big difference between ignorance and lack of education and intelligence. I think we would all agree, even maybe we can debate whether some races and even genders, you know, have a lower IQ than white males, but it doesn't take much intellect to figure out the COVID agenda here. And the real problem is, the real problem is ignorance. Ignorance being fueled by decades of dumbing down in the education system, propaganda coming from the media. And, you know, when you spoke, I think it was Paul speaking about this, these social engineers, the Antifa and everything, brewing up all this chaos and infighting and racial tension. You know, some of that, yes, some of those people obviously are being paid to do that, but some people are just going along with it, like you said, Paul, because they're ignorant and they buy into it and they're too dumbed down to see through the veneer of manipulation. So, yeah, it is a shame, obviously, what's going on.
Rebecca, I think you covered it 100%. Paul, go ahead.
Right, and just to add to that point, it's obvious that they're taking advantage of the two groups with the least amount of what we would call inhibition and foresight and thoughts about consequences, and that would be the young and the black. I mean, I didn't even get into the crime, and Jim knows all the numbers and statistics well. But it's worth mentioning, I watched a few years ago now a video with Colin Flaherty. And Colin Flaherty had on an hour-plus interview with a prison psychologist. He had more than 20 years in the field, and he's actually specialized in juvenile counseling and interviewing juvenile criminal offenders. And they had a quite frank discussion, and it was mostly based upon, you know, the young black offenders. And what he testified to in this interview to Colin Flaherty, this prison psychologist, that he had yet to find a case where a young black male offender had committed a crime because he was hungry and desperate, and that they almost all, to each and every one of them, if they weren't out and out sociopaths and psychopaths already, the rest of them had just been for the thrill of it. In other words, they were bored. The greatest reason, or the most frequent reason that he was given as to why they did what they did, was boredom and group thrill seeking. So we can just put to bed the idea, and I think Dennis Prager did many years ago when he had a show on about the lie of the left is that poverty causes crime, because poverty does not cause crime. And it's got nothing to do with these people's socioeconomic status. It has to do with their impulses and their cognitive functioning and the amount of also anger that's been pumped into them by the media, which we absolutely got to get control of.
Giuseppe, your thoughts.
I think that Paul brilliantly summed it up. And I mean, if you've seen that video of that young thug Panzi going up to those poor innocent Los Angeles County Sheriff's deputies and shooting them in cold blood. That is the classic meme, a picture is worth a thousand words. In this case, 15 seconds of video is worth a thousand words.
Do you know that Al Sharpton said he thought that that shooter was a plant to discredit the I mean, how absurd can you get? I mean, I think he was a kid. I think he was about 12 or 13 years old. The way he ran off looked to me like a very young kid, and they'd want to use him for something like this because then they think he can't be charged as an adult and therefore will not get the death penalty. But, I mean, this is just pathetic. This weakest, least educated, least capable element of society is being exploited for political purposes, and George Soros and Hillary Clinton and Nancy Pelosi and Barack Obama are among those who are behind the scenes manipulating the situation from above.
Yeah, that's an interesting thought, too, on the age, on the possible age. I did not think about that until you just said it, Jim. And it makes sense in terms of the kind of people they would use. And yeah, the size of the individual would fit that. And, of course, this is well known in Africa. Like in Somalia, you know, servicemen testified that they were often times, you know, the criminal gangs were the quickest to use, you know, 12-year-olds, 13-year-olds, even as young as 10 and 11 to do
that
dirty deed.
Well, and they tend not to have a conscience. You know, they don't know the difference between right and wrong. Going out and blowing someone away is just like a video game. Rebecca, your thoughts?
Oh, yeah, I was going to say that the crime and violence in the minority neighborhoods, inner city neighborhoods, have been further brewed and orchestrated by the powers that be, or whatever you want to call it, because, you know, they've really... purposefully taken fathers out of the home by incentivizing women to get more money if they are single mothers. I mean, this is not by mistake. So, and what do young urban, black minority men, Hispanic men do when they don't have a father in the home? What do they do? They join gangs because that's the only source of structure and protection and control over their lives that they can find. And it's been purposely brewed. I'm not saying this as an excuse to what's going on or that it entirely encapsulates the issue and the problem, but it's definitely been a factor issued in through the liberal left to further subjugate these minorities and these, especially young men, you know, and set them up for failure because they've purposely taken father figures out of the home. They've taken apart families like they do to not just minority families for decades, but they've dismantled the family unit. And they've especially targeted minorities and urban communities and dismantling the family by taking the fathers out of the home, by incentivizing mothers to get more money from the government, be dependent on the government. If the father left the home, therefore the young men have no guidance or father figure, and they turn to gangs. And, of course, that leads to violence and crime. So, can I just add one thing? That's entirely what I said. Some people know my awakening happened when I went after then presidential candidate Beto O'Rourke visiting Newtown, Connecticut. And what incited me the most and caused me to speak up to Beto O'Rourke live, which went viral on Fox News, is I said to the only minority black man in the room of 100 people in Newtown, Connecticut, when he asked Mr. O'Rourke what he would do to curb urban violence, Beto gave some bullshit answer, and I couldn't take it. I said, sir, I said to that black man, I said, he doesn't care about you, sir. That's why he's in Sandy Hook and not New Haven, Connecticut, or Hartford, Connecticut, or Bridgeport, Connecticut, because he doesn't care. They don't care about, if he cares so much about gun violence and taking guns away to curb violence, gun violence, he would be in those cities, in those minority cities, not in Sandy Hook, monopolizing on the so-called tragedy, right? So, yeah. That's right.
Rebecca, you are so brilliant, so articulate, so sensational on that occasion. You made just such a powerful impression on everyone. It was fascinating. I just want to add, it's not as though a government has been unresponsive to the inherent differences among the races. I mean, we have all kinds of programs to benefit the least advantaged among us. in particular the black population. Affirmative action is one example. Unfortunately, some of the social welfare programs actually reward mothers for having more children by giving them a larger dole from the government. And your points about the missing male member, the missing father figure, are impeccable, Rebecca. Spot on, absolutely spot on. To me, it is outrageous to see some of the most coddled members of society, of the NBA, the NFL, going out on a social justice campaign when they are getting, you know, millions and millions of dollars. They are the least discriminated against members of our whole society, and they are just blowing it so badly. They have politicized sports. They're cutting their attendance. That means the networks aren't going to have as many viewers. That means they've got to cut down the contracts they give to the football and the basketball league. That means the league, in turn, is going to have to cut their own salaries. They are so stupid in what they have done. They made us want to vomit rather than watch the NBA wearing Black Lives Matter shirts. It's disgusting.
So, you know, I'll mention quickly, so staying on this topic and going to the Jeff Blake thing, which I watched this video by these two white guys, and it was brilliant. It was about 10 minutes. And the whole theme of it was they wonder how the victim feels, the victim of this rape, okay, who had previously reported rape and sexual assault on Jeff Blake, who she had testified that he had a history of at least once or twice a year breaking into her place, stalking her, sexually assaulting her. And the most recent sexual assault for which they had a warrant for his arrest was just 3 weeks prior. He had broken to her place at like 4:30 in the morning, okay, and she awoke to find him standing over her bed, and he proceeded to rape her with her infant child in the bed next to her.
Yeah, and I know. Leave and, alone and the- she's ignored. They turned this guy into a hero when he's a miscreant.
Right.
He's a foul, evil person. It's disgusting.
Right. A car thief, among other things, an ATM robber. And the fact that people like Drew Brees, I just want to throw Drew Brees into an internment camp and recondition him Clockwork Orange style. Drew Brees wrote this man's name on his freaking helmet. Okay,
that's how just disgusting. Giuseppe, we're getting near the end. But I want Giuseppe, go ahead, give us your thoughts.
You mean that $1,000 I sent to Jeff Blake was ill-informed?
Right, no, and that's what they pointed out is they raised. Imagine how the victim of the rape feels that almost $2 million is raised for her rapist.
Yeah, no, I agree. Look, you make a wonderful case there, Paul. I like it, Giuseppe.
Go ahead, Giuseppe. They'll go. Yeah,
I think that we have all stepped through the looking glass, like the famous Lewis Carroll novel, and it's insane and it's sad that the power of the hypnotic mind control mass media has all these weak minds believing all that. I mean, first it was St. Floyd of fentanyl who put a gun in the belly of a pregnant woman to rob her. Then it's this clown Jeff Blake, who's now a multimillionaire from donations, which is just ridiculous. And we live in a clown world. That's all I can say. And thank God for shows like this and others, and thank God for people like Rebecca and Paul who are sane and we can interact with each other.
Rebecca, I've just been delighted that we were able to connect. I'd actually forgot I had the show today. I knew you and I were going to talk later, but what a wonderful coincidence. You called just as I'm about to go on the air, and I asked if you can join, and you could do it.
And it was wonderful. Thanks for having me on. It was serendipity. I'm really honored to have joined you guys. Thank you.
Oh, you were fabulous. Absolutely fabulous. And of course, Paul and Giuseppe are regular callers to the show, but it was a special treat to have you back on this spontaneous occasion. And we even were there for the latest, you know, interaction with law enforcement. I'm so glad it was not.
I apologize for that dramatic piece, but it seems to be that run-ins with law enforcement seem to be commonplace with me, unfortunately, since I started speaking out about Sandy Hook. Yeah, so thanks for backing me up, guys.
Well, Mitchell was wonderful by holding back the break. so we could cover your whole interchange with officer.
Thank you, Mitchell. Yes, that was key. I appreciate that. Thank you.
Go ahead, Paul. A few more minutes, and I want to get back to Rebecca Giuseppe very quickly. Paul.
Sure, sure. I was going to say, no worries, Rebecca. It was a good radio. But, yeah, Stan on this theme, notwithstanding all the valid points that Rebecca makes and that many of us already know about the social engineering, it's still at a fundamental level, at a fundamental biological and societal level in terms of what kind of civilization are we going to have. It's absolutely the worst idea in the world to give political power to a sub-functional, very disgruntled underclass that in many cases has animosity.
Let me just say, in a democracy, we have all kinds of individuals, all kinds of levels of ability. The whole point of democracy, electing our officials, including the president, is not that we're going to make the wisest decision, but it's a matter of shared responsibility for making a decision whose consequences are going to affect us all. It's very obvious Joe Biden would be a catastrophe as a president. He's completely incompetent. Kamala Harris is a flyweight. We would have no idea what to expect except that it would be very, very bad. And frankly, I think after all the riots, looting, the arson, the coronavirus, it's a breakthrough now that we have this federal judge in Pennsylvania ruling that the governor of the state overrode our constitutional rights by imposing the lockdown and stay at home. That's going to have tidal waves across the nation. I think it may be the key to our emancipation from this coronavirus political pandemic. Giuseppe, your final thoughts.
I think that something's got to turn. There's too many people who realize what a scam this whole vaccine is, this whole new normal is, this whole Green New Deal, this whole Great Reset. It's all a scam by a handful of globalist parasites, and they need to be taken off the board.
Mitchell, I just want to add how much we appreciate the way you handled all of this today, bringing in everyone. You did a wonderful job, my friend. If you want to add a few words here at the tail end, you're most welcome, Mitchell.
There's the break.
Okay, thank you, Mitchell. Thank you, Rebecca. Thank you, Paul. Thank you, Giuseppe. Thanks for everyone listening out there. We're so glad you were here.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to Revolution.